Sneaky Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Tony Pimentel from New Bedford, Massachusetts, saying, I love the Mickey Miles and More podcast. Wishing you all a very Merry Christmas.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to a special episode, episode 552 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. Hi, everybody. We're back for a while. My name is Mike Scopa, and on the show today, we have Michelle Scribner-McLean. How are you, Michelle? Long time no talk to these people who are listening to us.
I know, it seems very strange. I had to kind of figure out how to use my microphone again, and happy to be here, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. I think I've got about 85% of my gifts wrapped and 95% of them acquired, so I'm in good shape. How about you?
Well, I just want to remind everybody that the Red Sox won the World Series. In case people didn't know that. But yes, I'm doing very well. I do have a shout out today, and that is to everybody who's running in January, because for the first time in many, many years, I will not be there. And I know a lot of people are running their first marathons or their first Disney races. So good luck and let us know how it goes.
Thanks. I'll have a great time.
Oh, and of course, that was the golden tones of one Mr. Chris Eliopoulos. And Chris, boy, we haven't heard from you in a long time, and so we need you to tell us what's going on in your life.
Oh gosh, I know this is the part where I plug everything that I've had. Yeah. Okay, so since we've been away, in September we had I Am Neil Armstrong came out. This coming February we have I Am Billie Jean King coming out, as well as an I Am journal that you can buy for your kids. I mean, we're selling everything. We also have a Strong Girls box set, so it's a box set of four strong women. And then there was an announcement made. So we're doing a TV show on PBS coming next fall, based on these books, and I'm executive producing along with Brad, and and I'm designing the characters and making sure it all looks like my artwork. So keep an eye out for that one. And geez,
so exciting.
Yeah, it's cool. Just a lot of stuff. Yeah. So a lot of fun stuff. See what happens when I stop talking to you? I actually get work done. Anyway, who else is here?
On the show, we have a very special guest. All I have to do is just run down what he's known for, and I probably don't even have to mention his name, but he is the co-author of many Disney books from all the Disney parks from around the world, as well as the Disney Cruise Line. He also has a podcast, The Disney Dish, with Jim Hill, and he also is the mastermind behind Lines, the app that helps you make the most of your time when you are touring the parks, and of course touringplans.com. He is the one, the only, Mr. Len Testa. How you doing, Len? Long time no speak.
How's it going, Mike? Hey, Michelle. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
So this is a little awkward. You guys asked me what I was up to, but I'd like also to mention that I'm working on a series of books. One is called He Was Neil Armstrong. Another one was She Was Billie Jean King, and then I've got a series called They Were coming out on Hulu in the spring. It's
nice.
kind of stole my thunder there, Chris, but okay, go ahead.
Wow. Man. They sound like great books, though, Len. I'm looking forward to it.
Reimagined with a different verb. How clever.
I'm going to make a list for my grandchildren for next year's Christmas. So the four of us have been chatting about, it's been a while since we've been together talking, and it's been a while since we've done a show, but we know that it's Christmas and that there may be some of you who are heading down to Disney World, or there may be some of you, a lot of you, who have never been down there, especially at this time of year. And so we decided to get together and talk about the holiday happenings at Walt Disney World. And we're not just going to talk about what's going on. Now, we're going to go a little bit back into history and talk about what's been in the past and what has come and gone and what's there now, and give everyone an idea of what there is to see down there, as well as maybe what we'd like to see in the future. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask right up front is, Chris, have you ever been down this time of year?
Oh, God, we used to come down all the time. If you remember, it used to be the week after Thanksgiving, like right around the time of Pop Warner football, there was like this dead week. We all used to go down there, and it was just when all the decorations went up. And so, we've gone through all of December coming down, and even the week after Christmas and stuff like that. So, I've been down there a lot through the years. I'm sure all of you have been there, like, God knows. Have you ever been there on the day of Christmas?
Ooh, no.
I was there the day after once. And it was crazy.
I was going to say.
The crowds were crazy.
I've been in Orlando on Christmas Day, but I don't think I went into the parks. I just thought, you know, best not to go into the parks. I think New Year's, Christmas and Thanksgiving and maybe Easter. July 4th doesn't seem to be that bad if you know what you're doing, but Christmas is something. So, Chris, when you've been down there in the past, what do you recall seeing and really looking forward to see when you were down there?
Obviously the Osborne lights were just a phenomenal thing. Like, you know, the first time I went, you didn't know what to expect, but once you get there, God, every year you wanted to see that. It's kind of disappointing that we're not seeing that anymore. But and the other one was the Very Merry. The first time was a ball with the kids. They did fall asleep in the middle of the night, and they had it during the parade. I have wonderful video of the green army men coming by in the parade, and the guy with the snare drum walked like right up to their carriage and started beating the hell out of it. And my kids didn't even move. They were so out after being out all day. It's phenomenal. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, afterwards you kind of go with it. That was a lot of fun. And then you just go, wait a minute. I just spent a lot of money for like free cocoa and, you know, cookies. And, you know, because it wasn't and a parade. So, but it was fun to see, you know, and then you got the soap snow, which was always magical. Now it's like, well, I've seen snow in Orlando for real, so it's not as magical anymore. What about you, Len? Anything exciting with you when you went down?
I mean, the first thing I really remember for Christmas stuff was Candlelight Processional, and here's how I remember it. Back in the day when we were writing down wait times, attraction wait times by hand, we would do a loop where we would go through all of World Showcase, you know, starting in Mexico with El Rio del Tiempo, and then sort of working our way through to count the number of people in line for the various, films and presentations. And I would walk by, at night, you know, Candlelight Processional every half an hour or so to, just in the course of like collecting all the wait times. And I remember, you know, hearing the music and really enjoying it, like, you know, when it was cold at night, it was, you know, the air was kind of crisp and you heard the Christmas carols and stuff like that. It was all fantastic. I think that's like the best early memory of Christmas I have in Walt Disney World.
Michelle,
that's
what
cool.
About you?
Oh, you know, I really like that we're all saying different things, because my favorite thing to do is to go and see the decorations in the resorts. And to go and see, you know, the carousel at the beach club and the train set at the yacht club, and just see how the different gigantic trees, like the one at Animal Kingdom. I really like to skip the parks and go around and just see how each resort is sort of conceptualized Christmas and and kept with the theming and all the specialized Christmas decorations that are there. So that's my favorite thing to do.
What about you, Michael? Come on, bring it on.
Well, you know, the thing is that the first time I went down there, and this is what I tell everyone, if the very first time you go down during the Christmas holidays, it's almost like going again for the very first time, because there are things that just capture your attention. And one of the things that I remember the most is a lot of people used to call this the Lights of Winter, but it really wasn't the Lights of Winter. I always call it the Christmas Trestle that used to span the bridge from Future World to World Showcase. And I remember that, and that was, but of course that was all technology. And I remember standing in front of that thing and listening to it was the thing that really caught me was it's a song by David Foster. It's an arrangement by David Foster of Carol of the Bells. And the lights are changing and they're blinking, and it's almost like I went into a catatonic, I don't know,
state.
Yeah, it's just, and I just loved it, and it was so loud, and I didn't want to leave. I wanted to just videotape it and everything. And I remember that had the biggest impression upon me. And then of course everything else with the Osbournes, and I think I never got to see the Osbournes on, what did they call that, Len, that street back there?
Sunset Boulevard? No. Or sorry, Streets of America?
No. Remember when before the Osbourne lights went to the Streets of America, they were in the back on that back lot tour.
Oh, Residential Street?
Residential Street. And yeah, Everybody was up in arms when they were going to take Residential Street out because they were going to build lights, motor action, stunt show, and they were going to move them to the Streets of America. Oh, no, it's not going to look good at all. It's going to be Chevy Chase and you know, that Christmas, what was that movie?
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, boy, my mind is going. And sure enough, they did a fantastic job. They turned them into the dancing lights. And, of course, when we were down there for Mouse Fest or we were down there for Reunion, it was just amazing to be there, especially when we had our special parties and there were only 200 of us. And I'll always remember that. I was mentioning that to Michelle today, how she used to dance to a couple of songs down there. And I remember Annette was doing, Snow Angels, but there was no snow. She was just lying on, and it was really something. So I think those two things really stand out. And of course, you know, a lot of things that have happened in the past are no longer around. One of the things I remember for the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, I don't know if any of you remember. Do you remember that there used to be a show that was in Tomorrowland? It's right now where they have
Buzz Lightyear. I know,
yeah,
what it is.
You know what, Michelle, where they have the Buzz Lightyear meet and greet? There used to be a show there. I think it was called Once Upon a Christmas. But I remember that was standing room only. They did three shows for every Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and that place was packed. And I was so disappointed when they took that away. But I used to love that show. So I was going to ask each one of you if there is anything that used to be down there that is no longer there that you really wish they had not removed. Michelle, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, boy. Well, I hate to say it because I know everybody else has already said it, but Osbourne Lights for me, as everybody was just talking about it, it occurred to me that I saw Osbourne Lights with very few people when we did dessert parties. I saw Osbourne Lights as I was running through it during many wine and dine races. I saw it as one of the hordes of people just packed in. It didn't matter, you know, who was there or what I was doing. I just loved it every year. Just, it would just like kickstart my Christmas spirit. So that, I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that that is going to be something that is missed. And I just really, I love that. That would be my big one.
What about you, Chris?
You know, it's funny. It's not so much a thing I miss. I miss the smaller crowds in the month leading up to Christmas. We used to go all the time. Remember, we used to have the different names of the events were right after, like, the first week of December. And the crowds, like you could run onto rides over and over again. And then even, like, Very Merry, there weren't that many people there. I feel like Very Merry Now, it's like it's just as many people, if not more, than you'd have on a typical day, and you're just paying more money to do it at night. And I miss the ability to have fewer people in my face. So, but that's, you know, it is what it is. But what else do I miss? I miss being down there for it, because I haven't been down there in years. I miss counting the hidden Mickeys on the carousel and in Beach Club. And my kids loved, because we always stay at the Yacht Club, they loved, like Michelle, you were saying, the train set up there, and that was always a blast for them. So that's what I miss. What about you, Mr. Lin?
You know, it's not so much the things or the events that I miss, because Disney replaces them with new things. It's the people. I remember all of the good Disney memories that I have aren't necessarily of the event itself. It's like the people that were with me during the event. Like the first time that Scopa and I saw Epcot Illuminations.
Oh my God.
Holiday tag with Walter Cronk. Right. I remember where we were. Yeah. I remember, you know, where we were standing. That was fantastic. I remember, like Michelle said, you know, the reunion parties where it was just a couple of hundred of us in Osborne Lights, you know, and I got to bring my daughter Hannah and, you know, and Laurel was there, and, you know, to be able to share that with, you know, a bunch of people that I really, really liked, and an experience that is exceedingly rare to have. Yeah. Those are my favorite memories.
You know, Len, you stole my thunder, because that's when all the relationships were built, and then you had the holiday environment to strengthen all that. I remember the night I saw the tag, and I remember calling you up or texting you and saying, you got to see this. And I remember we met the next night. We watched it from World Showcase Plaza between those two stores. And I remember when the tag went off, you said to me that you thought that the ground was going to just crumble beneath us.
Yeah, we could hear the ground. We could feel the ground shaking underneath us.
Yeah. That's
an amazing amount of fireworks.
It's just crazy. And as we all know, the Illuminations show is going to end sometime in September. And so for those who are planning on going to see Walt Disney World and especially Illuminations over the next 9, 10, 11 months, be sure to see Illuminations.
Well, but this is the last holiday period. This is the last holiday tag. Yeah.
So, you know, and so while we're on it, why don't we spend some time talking about what is there this year? To give people a rundown of exactly what type of things they can see if they happen to go down over the next couple of weeks. And I want to start off with let's start off with the resorts, because I don't want to override them. I want to make sure that people understand what's at the resorts. And one of the things I was going to start off with, Michelle, I was going to ask you, when you think of the decorations in the resorts, what are the first couple of things that come to mind that you've seen in the past that you know are there this year?
In terms of resort decorations?
Yeah, like what decorations would you, like if you were going down this year, what resort decorations would you say, I have to go see these?
Well, I would say, I already mentioned it, but the trees in the Wilderness Lodge and Animal King Lodge, the gigantic, gigantic trees with the gigantic decorations. And it was so cool to go on the, what was the name of the tour that we went on, Mike? The one in Epcot where we went behind the scenes and went to the holiday.
Yeah.
But to see actually where they store them.
Yeah, and huge and warehouse, what they look, yeah.
Yeah. The cool thing about doing the resort touring, too, is that even if you don't have, I mean, all of us clearly have annual passes. We go a lot. But even if you don't have an annual pass, you could still go and see that. And visit with your family and you know, really get a thrill and kind of get into the Christmas spirit by seeing those resort trees.
Was it the Yuletide Fantasy tour?
No, it wasn't Christmas. I'll do some research while you guys are talking. It's the 8-hour one.
Yeah, we went through the laundry and everything.
You went through the laundry facilities, yeah.
All right, so not Holiday Delights or anything like that. Okay.
No, that sounds good too. No. I have to do that. Yeah, I'll
I miss
it out.
The gingerbread. I want to like. I hate gingerbread, but I like it when I'm down there in the resorts, and you can pick some up. It smells good, right?
It always does.
So the Grand Floridian's gingerbread house that they built in the lobby, I believe they changed the position of it. I believe it's in the center rear now. It used to be on the left hand side, near where you'd go in for. Victorian Albert's on that first floor, or was that the Contemporary?
Viennese is on the second floor.
Yeah, so they moved that. So, I mean, that's something that everybody, should be aware of. They actually have a gingerbread house in the lobby of the Grand Floridian, and they sell gingerbread houses and gingerbread. So that's something that I know that every year I'd like to try to see every tree in all the resorts. Well, Animal Kingdom, Wilderness Lodge, of course, the Grand Floridian. The Swan and Dolphin have some interesting decorations, too.
You're right.
Yeah, they have good. Chris mentioned the carousel at the Beach Club with the Hidden Mickeys. I remember, again, great memories of being there with Steve to count them Hidden Mickeys. And also then, Chris, I think you mentioned the Village and the Train at the Yacht Club. There's so much, and if
what about Fort Wilderness?
Yeah, if Newell was here, he would say, "What about Fort Wilderness?" You know, exactly. And if for those who don't know, there are people down there who will rent several spots, and they will go down in November, and they will be there for a whole month, and they will just put their decorating skills out there, and they will really come up with some really great decorations. So for those who can, I really would recommend walking through Fort Wilderness one of these nights. It's just great.
That's fantastic. I was there last night, and it looked like a Christmas decoration store exploded with the lights on. It was some of them were just incredible, like the inflatable things. Some of them have lights set to music. There are moving animatronics. I mean, people go all out for this.
And people get extra lots, too, right? They don't just use their lot. They buy lots. They rent lots next to them.
Yep.
And bring. I think I even heard somebody say that they bring a trailer from home. Like, they have their RV, and then they put a trailer of Christmas stuff on top of that to decorate. So, does Disney walk around and monitor? Is it just a free-for-all? I mean, it's amazing, and I think Disney has embraced it and made it part of its celebration of the holidays. But does somebody walk around and see what's going on there? And not that anything's inappropriate, but...
Yeah, I'm sure that they're looking for, make sure nothing's overloaded electrically, and that no one's actually trying to do an actual menorah with actual flames. You know, eight feet tall with gallons of oil. Yeah, no. But I'm sure they do.
So let's turn to, I'm going to stick with Len. Let's turn to the parks. And I think this would probably be worthwhile to go through it really fast. Let's start with the Magic Kingdom. And we can talk about the decorations, Len. And let's talk a little bit about Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and what folks could expect to experience during that party.
So lots of very specific shows for Christmas, lots of seasonal entertainment there. So Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade is the parade. So Mike, you talked about the Once Upon a Christmas Story. It's been replaced with the parade. There's, of course, the castle icicle lighting, which looks fantastic. And a bunch of holiday food and drinks. So hot cocoa, Christmas cookies are available during the party. It's not bad at all.
How long does it last? What time does it start and what time does it end?
It starts at 6, and I believe it goes to 11:30 or 12 now, but I think you can get in as early as 4.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it used to be. I thought it started later in the day, or at least used to.
I thought it used to be at 7, but I always get that.
Yeah, 7. It used to be 7 at 12. Now I think it's slightly earlier now.
Because... So my kids could stay awake during that time and not get woken up by the...
Well, they're in college now, so they're probably around the time that they're getting up.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know why they're starting it early, Len? Because it's a more expensive cookie these days.
It is. It's up to $120, right, for certain
Yep. I think as we get closer and closer to Christmas, especially on weekend nights, it's probably, I know it's well over 100.
It is open till midnight. So it's like you get in, I think you can get in like at 6 and then stay till midnight. I think that's that. They've also got the Jingle Cruise, which we've been on before. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Michelle, what are your memories of Mickey's Very Merry? What do you enjoy the most about those parties?
I don't know. It's different things. The parade I think is great, but the prancing reindeer I remember is really cool. I don't know. It's just kind of fun to be there. I mean, it's a little charming that people think it's cold and they wear sweaters and things like that. But I think the best part about that party is just walking down Main Street USA. And as Chris said, the soapy snowflakes, it's just really cute. It really makes you feel like you're in an old time Main Street and everybody's walking around in a festive way.
Oh, I forgot about the Christmas music. So the Christmas music's been on for almost a month now. I think it started like second week of December.
Wow. I was going to say start in September.
Yeah, exactly.
the way things are going.
Halloween
right?
started in August, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it did actually. It did. Yeah, it's crazy. I do like you know what it is? I do love the feel of like Very Merry where it's sort of, it feels like a different park because of all the decorations and all the different little events going on. It feels like something slightly different. We had fun. You know, it's weird. When the kids were little, it sounds so dumb. And I know we moan and say, you know, you're paying $120 for hot chocolate and a cookie. But my kids loved it. They had the little locations where you could get the stuff. And they made it a point. We had to go run and visit each one. And it sounds so dopey, but you know what? It's something that the kids looked forward to. So, you know,
you're telling this crew it sounds dopey? I don't think so.
Well, yeah, I remember your old show. You used to moan about that and say, like, you know, it's $80.
I think it was an $80 cookie.
Yeah.
I think it was.
How many of us would pay $80 for a cookie now?
Yeah, right. Nowadays. But that's it, you know. But the kids had a blast with it. I think it was great. Like Mike used to say this all the time. It was like it was a one-time thing. You go to the Very Merry, you don't need to go back again. Do you guys still think that? Do you still feel like it's only a one-time thing?
I think that if you go down once and experience it, I think that it's going to draw you back again. I don't know if I can say that for everyone, but it's been a couple of years, and I miss it. So I'm looking forward to the next time I get a chance to go. One of the things I wanted to mention is that there are shows all the time, and one of the things that we always talk about, and I think Len has it in one of his books, that when you're going to the Halloween Mickey's Very Not So Scary, or if you go into Mickey's Very Merry, you should get an idea as to what the schedule is the day before, because you could be caught short with the parade times and the fireworks times, because things are kind of crazy and the shows and everything. One of the things I also wanted to mention is that, you know, we talk about the back then the $80 cookie and how it's expensive now. They also offer a dessert party that is held at the Tomorrowland Terrace, and it's around $75. And so if you added that to the price of the party, you know, you could be talking about $200. But let me mention something about this this dessert party. What that dessert party offers is the treats that you might see at various parts of the park, and it's all in one spot. You can relax. But the big thing is that there is an area that is reserved for those people who purchase those dessert party tickets, and that area is just in front of where the Plaza restaurant is, and you could be there to watch fireworks. And my guess is that you may not have, you know, wall-to-wall people in there, because how many people are going to shell out not just the $100+ for the party ticket, but another $75 for that? So I mean, we're talking $200, you know. So, but I have experienced that for the Halloween party, and I thought it was well worth it, because there were hardly any people there, you know, shoulder to shoulder. I could stretch out. You could actually lie down on your back, and you could watch the fireworks on your back. So I just wanted to mention that. So that's pretty much the
If you're gonna do that, if you're gonna do the dessert party, why not do the Tony's Most Merriest Town Square party too?
Oh,
which gets you pasta and pizza and all kinds of food over in Tony's Town Square. That's only an additional $106 per person.
Tony, Len, I've tasted this sauce.
It's improved. They got a new chef earlier this year. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's different.
Okay,
it's slightly better. Yeah, but it's, so you could do Mickey's Very Merry, which I think is what $120 a ticket.
Yeah,
like Pete, right? Throw in another $100 for the dessert party, so that's $220. Then throw in another $105 for Tony's Most Merriest Town Square party. If you really wanted to do the party right,
yeah, no,
it's like $340.
Merry Christmas, yeah. Merry Christmas. I'm gonna turn to Michelle to bring us to what she recalls or what she is aware of as to what kind of holiday happenings are at Epcot Center. Michelle?
Go to somebody else.
Yeah, right. I was gonna say, like, we don't know any of this.
I could talk about the storytellers, but there aren't really many storytellers.
Okay, I'll go to Chris.
I was actually gonna ask, that was my next question, is that we used to love the storytellers all over through Epcot, and like, are they still around? Are they still doing them?
I know, yep. Mike, that still was always a favorite of yours.
I love the I always loved that there was a guy called the Monkey King in China. what the heck is a, and I remember going around one year, I remember listening to every single one, and I was just, just swallowed up by the Christmas spirit. It was really cool. I really enjoy, it's called Holidays Around the World and the Storytellers,
But Len, are there still as many storytellers?
Every country has something. It's different than some of them. It's different than what we're used to. So China used to have the Monkey King. Now it's the Lion Dance. Canada does music with their house band. But like France does still Père Noël. Germany still does the first Christmas tree stuff. Italy still does La Befana. Mexico still does the same Fiesta de Navidad, stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, I still love it. What is it? In Germany, you can still get the pickle ornaments.
The pickle ornaments, yes.
But you get them year round, though. You don't have to worry about the season.
Hannah put hers up on her tree today. We actually FaceTimed about it earlier today. She was putting them on her tree.
I keep trying to talk my wife into it. She does not. She's like, she hates pickles. It's one of those phobia things.
Yeah.
She won't have a pickle on our tree. So
that's funny.
Pickle level.
That's a phobia. If you won't even have one on your tree. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So all right. They still do that. And then there's a new thing this year. Chip and Dale's Christmas tree spree. It's a scavenger hunt in World Showcase. So you go in and you find ornaments for Chip and Dale for their Christmas tree. They give you a little map. Each country has a little sticker. You find the ornament, you put the sticker over the country.
Oh, I like that idea.
They're doing a lot of these things in different parks, little inexpensive scavenger hunt type things to keep the kids occupied.
I have one that's an oldie but a goodie, but still wonderful. To see the Voices of Liberty sing Christmas carols in their Christmas gear. That is wonderful.
That is good.
I forgot about that. And then, of course, later on in the afternoon every night, there are three performances in front of the American Adventure. And it's called the Candlelight Processional, and it is just an amazing, amazing show to witness. There are about 200 to 300 voices singing, including some former Voices of Liberty and present Voices of Liberty. There are also, I want to say about an 80 to 100 piece orchestra, and it's just great, and it snows, and if you ever get a chance to go there, it's really great. One of the things that I need to point out is that theater cannot hold the number of people who would love to see that every night.
Oh, yeah.
And I have heard of people, and Len, I remember talking to you about this about 10 years ago, that there were people who stood in line, and they actually were in line so long, they saw the first two performances while standing in line, and then they finally got to sit down to their performance, which was just prior to Illuminations going on. So it's very, very difficult to get a seat there. Now, in order to guarantee a seat, they have, in the past, they've offered what they used to call the Candlelight Processional Dinner Package. It was always dinner. Now it's lunch. And depending upon what tier you go to, what tier restaurant you go to, there's a fixed price, and you're guaranteed a seat at a specific performance at a specific night.
I didn't realize it's only lunch now.
No,
for dinner,
it's actually breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They actually expanded
all three.
It.
Yeah.
But okay. The downside of that is they're selling so many of these dining packages now that unless you get a dining package, you're almost certain not to get in.
Right.
I've heard of people who, stood in line for 5 hours and they didn't even come close to getting in. What I've heard was like as few as 20 or 30 people will get taken in from the standby line because so many people are buying the dining packages, especially for super popular narrators like Neil Patrick Harris or Whoopi Goldberg or, John Stamos. I mean, your chances of getting in without buying a dining package there are, very, very small.
Don't they limit it though, Len? Don't they limit it to like maybe 80% of the capacity? But even then, you're not likely going to get it.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't heard that. What I have heard is a lot of people standing in line and, the people towards the back of those lines having almost no chance of seeing it. That said, you can stand back behind where the American Adventure is and get a decent view of the show. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. not like the same as being up front, but it's not like you're not going to hear anything.
Right.
I mean, I heard it just walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, and even just being close to it, there's a ton of holiday spirit there. It's a lot of fun. It's still a great experience.
I had one story where Becky, who always makes the magic, right? Like, she's always doing something crazy. We had two VIP tickets. So it was like front row tickets for one of the shows one night. And we were doing other, like, it was a crazy day. I think it was one of the, what did you guys used to call the events? The
reunion?
The reunions? Is that what it was? The reunion? So we were there and we had so much stuff going on and it was always going from one place to the other. And so we had two extra tickets and we were like, we're going to go do something else. So Becky likes to make her magic. So we actually went like this, the line, like you said, it went from like up front, entrance all the way, like almost around.
Yeah. To Mexico, the, right?
Like,
I remember being like in Germany, tequila at least, waiting. Yeah.
Right. And we found a couple that were at the end of the line. There was no way they were going to see this show, but they were still willing to wait online. And we offered them the tickets, and they thought we were insane. They didn't know what, they didn't understand what it meant. And then we kind of followed them and watched them walk all the way up. And they got to the front, and they got like the VIP treatment. They got pushed all the way to the front of the thing, and they were like, you could see the smiles on their faces. So I think that's part of the Disney Christmas thing too, is that you see a lot of people kind of willing to give a little bit of extra magic and, get that Christmas spirit going. So,
oh, that's a great story.
Just what people want when they're given free tickets to be followed afterwards.
Well, we kept a distance. We were not on them. We just kind of like, made sure that they went. Thanks a lot for rooting them really nice.
We handed them a bottle of moisturizer.
Coming to the Hallmark Channel next.
Somebody gave me tickets and then I kept on turning around and they were following me.
No, we're not following like that. We're just sort of...
Before we leave Epcot, I want to go around the table and ask everyone a question and see, just to see what off the top of your head, what you'd come up with. For many years, we watched the Illuminations Christmas tag and it was always pretty emotional when you heard... when you heard the singing, and then you heard Walter Cronkite when he was alive, and then we heard Walter Cronkite when he had passed away. They continued to use the audio.
Remember, that was the big question at the time. Everybody's like, are they going to still use him?
Right. And then about 2 years ago, I think they changed it to some voice. But I wanted to ask each and every one of you, if the Illuminations holiday tag was to continue, and they had... And you were given the opportunity to select the voice to do the Christmas tag. Who would you go with? I'm going to go
Ooh.
to... I have my own particular one that I've been holding back for a couple of weeks. I've been wanting to mention it to Michelle, but I thought I'd hold back. So, but I'm going to give Michelle the first chance to tell us. Who would you pick, Michelle? Who has a very distinctive voice? Could it be someone who you maybe have recently seen, Michelle?
Oh, yes. I recently saw Oprah. Yeah. Oprah would be great. I would love to see Oprah doing that. But I don't know that that would be my first choice. You kind of put me on the spot. Let me keep thinking, but she would be wonderful.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Chris, what do you think?
James Earl Jones.
Yep, that was a voice that I had in my on my list. Not the very top, but that definitely.
He's just got there. I mean, like it was like Walter. There's certain voices that, you know, just really bring it home. I mean, he's Darth Vader. He's the Lion King. I mean, you know, it just
the voice of CNN. Yeah,
CNN. You know, Merry Christmas. This is CNN.
It sounds like Hulk Hogan. Merry Christmas, brother.
Sorry, I was trying to get the low voice, but I sound like I had surgery done on.
When did Chris steal your thunder?
No. I have two, and so one of them is sort of like the obvious choice, which is Morgan Freeman. Because Morgan Freeman can narrate everything, but I also
and does.
He does, yeah. So the other one, I think, is, and I'll give you the backstory on it. So I was watching a Hulu, and an Nespresso commercial came on with George Clooney on it. And I looked at Laurel. I'm like, do we need to start a GoFundMe for George Clooney? Because why is he doing Nespresso commercials? Like, are times that tough for George Clooney? So then I did some research on it, and it turns out, and I'm not making this up. The money George Clooney's made about $40 million in endorsing Nespresso. And remember, he's married to Amal Clooney, who is a human rights activist and a lawyer. And it turns out that the $40 million that George Clooney has made from Nespresso, he uses, and I'm not making this up, to keep a satellite in orbit over North and South Sudan to monitor it for human rights violations. Wow.
As one does.
But of course, I mean, why? If you had an extra $40 million, that's what. And I'm thinking to myself, I like George Clooney's voice. George could put the money to good use. Let's have George Clooney narrate the Epcot Illuminations Holiday Tag.
Who can top
why
that?
Not? Why not?
That was good. That was a good choice.
You know who else I was thinking of too? It's a weird one, but I love listening to him. Totally out of left field, but David McCullough. I don't know if you know David is a writer. Yes, mm-hmm. But he did. He used to host. I forget what the show was, but he's done a lot of audiobooks. He did. He narrated the baseball, or no, the Civil War, maybe both. Ken Burns documentaries. Great voice. He'd be pretty darn good at this too. Mm. I don't know if he would keep a satellite in space, but it would still be good to hear.
I had two. I think one of them may have passed. Michelle, who was the narrator for that Planet Earth series? Do you remember?
David Attenborough?
Is he alive or is he dead?
He's alive. He's old, but he's alive.
That would be one, but that's not my first choice. My first choice would be based on, you know, Walter Cronkite's voice was selection was based on everyone being comfortable with him when they hear his voice. So I thought, who would be someone who everyone would like to hear? Well, I don't know about everyone, but a lot of people would like to hear who would calm them, and I thought of Barack Obama.
Oh! Drops mic, leaves.
What?
Oh.
Good choice, Linda, huh?
You don't think last it was a good choice?
Oh, that's a perfect choice. Last year, I was convinced that Barack Obama was going to be one of the candlelight processional narrators. Like I was 100%.
God. Can you imagine that?
Could you imagine what that line would look like?
Just the logistics. Although,
it'd be all Secret Service guys. Jeez.
Yeah.
But the problem also is, like, as you see from Hall of Presidents, like, there's going to be people doing stupid stuff too. There's just no way there'd be somebody protesting left and right. Right.
You protest Christmas?
Hey, look, you know,
I'm with you. No, I'm with you. But like,
I mean, there's that guy that, right? Wasn't there a guy that was running around with the Trump things. He was going to Broadway plays, and he was down at Disney, and they finally had to kick him out. You know, people
did it
are
twice. Once after being warned not to do it again.
Right.
So, it's not. I don't think that there was anything wrong with what Disney did. You got warned once.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if you had him, there'd be people kind of. Because you see it, the Hall of Presidents, people booed when he was on stage, and then people boo when Trump's on stage. So, you know, I think you sort of have to stay away from political figures.
Yeah, yeah.
So before we leave, I want to go back to Michelle, give her a chance. She's had a chance to thank Michelle.
Sure. This is the first thing before you said Oprah, the first person. And he's not iconic, but I love his voice. And it's, I don't know how to say it exactly right, but Idris Elba.
Yeah, Idris Elba.
I think he would be amazing. Yeah.
Well, we've got a less than 10 minutes.
I'm just gonna throw out Samuel L. Jackson just for
the... Yeah, I did think of that too. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
I like it.
Because with Morgan Freeman are in every single movie that is out there. Yeah.
What's in your narration?
It's a mother effing president underneath a never mother effing tree.
So let's go on to the studios. Obviously, the Osborne lights are gone. There is a party there similar to, I don't know if it's similar to Mickey's Very Merry. I've never attended. It's called Jingle Bam, and I believe it's held on, is it held on Sunset Boulevard? I'm not sure.
I believe so, yeah.
Have you ever attended it, Len? Or?
It's actually in the, in the sort of the center of the studios. You're thinking the thing that's on Sunset Boulevard. I think you're thinking of is the the Sunset
Prep and what's its face?
Prep and Landing.
Prep and Landing on the Tower of Terror. That's right.
Yeah, Seasons Greetings. Yeah. So that's really good. I really like the projection effects. Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. Not bad. The fireworks aren't as extensive, anywhere near as extensive as Illuminations, but it looks good. They do a little bit of like mini perimeter fireworks around it. It's very colorful. You get some great video and some great photos of it. It for the studios, it's not bad. It's what they can do right now. I think Sunset Seasons Greetings is a little bit better.
How would you compare it to Osborne?
Not even close. Not even the same sport. Yeah. Not even the ballpark. I will say this though. This year, I tried the Disney Parks blog released a list of 20 different food items, holiday food items that they put out in the studios, and Laurel and I made an attempt to eat all 20 of them.
In one day.
Yeah, we got through half. It was tough. Super chocolatey. The thing that I think was best, they did an eggnog flavored panna cotta with raspberries on top, and it was very, very good. Some things, and that was good. The gingerbread men were great. A couple of things didn't work at all. They tried to do macaron. But the problem with macaron and humidity and heat, especially, that they get super chewy. And then when we ate them in mid-November, it was still 89 degrees outside. I mean, literally, it was 89 degrees the day that we visited. So everything was melting. All the chocolate decorations from the places that we tried, as soon as you touch them, they would fall apart. That really didn't work out too well. But some of it's hit or miss, like any Disney food thing. Every park now has at least a dozen different food items to try.
Yeah. We have one more park. I don't know what's going on.
Can I just mention one thing about now that they're changing over to Star Wars, like a lot there, I think they really need to do like a riff on the holiday special they did. And have like a Life Day celebration.
And have a what day celebration?
It was called like Life Day, I believe. Yeah. It's a very, if you don't know Star Wars, they had a holiday special back in the day when Star Wars first came out, and it was god awful. It was just the worst thing you've ever wanted to see.
It was so bad it was good, right?
No, it's not even that bad.
No, it was just bad.
It was just bad. But I just think it'd be hysterical if they did an event based on that. That's my two cents for the studios, but all right, sorry, Mike. Moving on.
Michelle, did you want to mention, do you have any words regarding the studios? I know that you haven't been down there since they've removed the Osborne. So, are you looking forward to someday seeing the Jingle Jam Bam, whatever it's called, Jingle Bam?
I am, but I'm actually looking forward to, as Len mentioned, the projection onto the Tower of Terror. And Len, I wanted to ask you about those treats. I did read that blog. Did you just print it out and go and find it in different places, or was there was it multi pages, or how did you organize it?
It was one page. We walked around to try, and so we actually made a grid of restaurant and things. So if we went to a restaurant or to a cart that had multiple items, we were able to find, the four or five items in each thing. So we kind of organized it a bit. It wasn't that hard to find. The interesting thing was I think we did it like a couple of days after the Disney Parks blog post came out, and it was still relatively new enough that a couple of places we went to, people didn't know what we were talking about. We actually had to show them the blog post. And even then, like, the registers weren't programmed with the food items or anything like that yet. It was, but we got through it. I'm sure everything's fine now.
Mm. Cool. Thank you.
I'm not familiar with what's going on at the Animal Kingdom. I know that they had some type of a Christmas themed parade, but I don't recall if there's anything else going on. This is where, again, I turn to Len. You've been down there more often, and you have been down there since the Christmas holidays season began down there. Can you think of anything in the Animal Kingdom that's worthwhile to go see?
Literally can't think of anything that was going on at the Animal Kingdom for the events. There's got to be something, though. I'm just blanking on it. I only remember because I was there the week it happened. So the Indian holiday, the Festival of Lights, Diwali, was November 8th this year, but happened to be in the Animal Kingdom when they did it. They changed over the Up Bird Adventure show so that the intro of it celebrates Diwali, and I think just because it's Disney, Diwali goes on for 2 months. I think it runs through January. That's literally the only thing I remember from the Animal Kingdom.
And before we close, before we close, I wanted to ask, they don't do there. I don't want to forget Disney Springs, and I know that a few years ago there was that drone show at Disney Springs.
They're not doing the drone show, but they are doing the
Christmas tree
the
lane?
Walk of Christmas tree lights.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not great. I was there this afternoon. It was. It's fine for what it is.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, I was going to ask about meals. Like, do they do like Christmas meals anywhere? Any special
Yeah,
a few years ago we came down for over Thanksgiving. Our family hated us, but we wanted to get away. And of all places, we went to dinner at the Cruise Cup. And they served a turkey, cranberry, mashed potatoes, sweet potato meal. And I was like, wow, that was pretty impressive that they pulled this off.
At the little bar?
At the bar. Wow. And so I was wondering, like, do any places serve specialty Christmas meals? Or I know I'm putting everybody on the spot. I'm just trying to remember if there was anything where they do that.
I used to think that that used to be at the Liberty Tree Tavern, maybe, in the Magic Kingdom. I know they do a special for Thanksgiving. They may be doing something special for Christmas. I also want to think Trails End might have something, but I'm not sure. But something to think about, something to look into. But go ahead, Len.
I know Wilderness Lodge usually does something every year, but I don't know. No, it'll probably be at Whispering Canyon. I don't think anyone's announced anything yet.
Yeah. It was very random. Like I said, like, I don't even know if they didn't even promote it. It just sort of was there on the menu and at the time. And I was absolutely amazed that I had a Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving in Disney World.
Yeah.
And, you think about, the Christmas turkey or the Christmas chicken or whatever the they serve with razzleberry dressing. And sorry. Going back to my old childhood. So, all right, sorry. Do they have candy canes there?
I'm sure they have.
There's candy everywhere, right? Chocolate candies, everything.
I think we pretty much covered everything. I think that, there may be a few things, but I think that we we pretty much ran the gamut on everything down there, the resorts, the parks, Disney Springs, talked about food, talked about parties, talked about dessert parties, fireworks, and everything. So I think that we covered it, and I want to thank everyone for their participation in this little discussion. It's been a long time since we've done a podcast, so we thought it's the time of year that we'd love to share our memories and also share our thoughts on the things down there at Walt Disney World. So Len, thank you very much for coming on in such a short notice.
Oh, thank you, guys.
And Chris, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
And to you as well.
And Michelle, you too. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And to everybody out there who has been listeners to us for a long time, and I know that we have cut back on our shows, we want to thank you for tuning into this special show. We wish you happy holidays and Merry Christmas, and hopefully someday, if you haven't already, you get a chance to visit Walt Disney World during the holiday season, and I guarantee that it will be something similar to being there for the very first time. So for Len Testa, for Chris Iliopoulos, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks. Happy holidays.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. Like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.